If you're visiting, we welcome you. There's lots of information about things going on in the church, in the bulletin, and on the website. Just a quick reminder about a couple of things. Of course, Christmas is this week. That means we have Christmas Eve services on Wednesday. Two of them, and all the details are in the bulletin, but they're at 4 o'clock and 5:30, with some slight differences between the two. The first one is the more child-friendly one, though they both are, but we hope you can come and celebrate the birth of Christ with us for those. Next Sunday, Sunday when a lot of people are traveling in between the holidays, we're going to do one combined service at 10 o'clock. And as I look out and see this full room and know how many people were here at the first service, I say, okay, I hope we can fit everybody in. But 10 o'clock next Sunday, followed by a light brunch, food and fellowship with each other afterwards. So remember that, just one service next Sunday at 10 o'clock. And then, though it's still 2 weeks away, I want you to know that on the 4th, 2 weeks from today at 10 o'clock, in between the two services, we'll have a town meeting. We do these quarterly to try to bring, the elders want to bring the congregation up to date with a lot of significant news. We'll be talking about an update on transition plans for the future, the financial projections for the coming year, some of our outreach plans and some other things, and then a good time of prayer together for the church as we enter the new year. So that's in 2 weeks. Well, if you've been around our church for a while, you know that my tradition for a number of years is on the Sunday before Christmas, I do a character, first-person character from the Christmas story. And I've done shepherds and wise men, the innkeeper and Joseph. And a survey was taken this year where that you may know about, and the number one vote getter was donkey. You know, that's who Ron should be this year. And I have chosen to not be a donkey, but at my wife's urging and nudging and praying, I think, for a few years, I have decided to go a place I've been reluctant to go, and that is to be an angel. And I say to her, you've been married to me long enough. You really think I can be an angel? But I've chosen to be Gabriel, which, interestingly, happened to be her father's first name. It's a wonderful story, and though as recently as a week ago today, I was still saying, there is no way I'm going to be an angel. No way I'm going to be an angel next Sunday. I just felt like the Lord led me in this direction to really reflect on the wonder, the miracle of the incarnation from an angel's perspective, based on what we know. I still find it a stretch to think like an angel, and you probably would too. But knowing some of the things we know about the background of Christ having existed from all eternity, being worshipped by the angels, it is amazing to contemplate what it was like for them to witness the incarnation, Him coming to earth, becoming a human being. So I'm going to read the story from Luke 1. You can turn your Bibles, beginning with verse 26. Luke 1, where the angel Gabriel came to Mary with his announcement, and after I read the passage, then I'll go into character and speak first person. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High God, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin." And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. This is God's word. Good morning. My name is Gabriel, and I am an angel. I don't know if you've ever met an angel before. We don't visit the earth as often these days as we used to in past centuries. And frankly, I'm fine with that because I've had enough experience visiting earth and being revealed in all of my glory and size and power and light and people almost dying. You know, that gets a little old after a while. Because you see, I'm in disguise today. If I were here, you would be falling to the ground right now in fear, because in my natural state, I am huge and bright and a warrior, and you'd be terrified. But when they told me about this assignment, they said, "We're going to put you in a disguise so people won't be so afraid, and we're going to make you look like a typical American man, a rather young American man." That's funny? I don't know. When they told me about the assignment, they also told me that I'm coming to a group of people who read the Bible a lot, and I'm glad for that. So that means you've probably read a lot of stories about not only me, but other angels in the Bible, and how over the course of history we've been sent to help people, to send messages from God. Sometimes we've been sent in large numbers to represent the Lord. You've probably read stories about Abraham and Jacob and Gideon and Elijah and Elisha and Daniel. Maybe you've read the story about that donkey who spoke. Remember that story? That was one of our angels who made Balaam's donkey speak. That was a great story that we kept telling over and over and over up in heaven. But anyway, I've been asked to come and tell you a very special story that I, Gabriel, was involved in. And to this day, I'm still humbled and honored that I was chosen to be the messenger in this very special story that I'm going to tell you about. So here's how it happened. One day in glory, I was at the entryway to the throne room of God. And as would sometimes happen, I heard the voice of the King, the voice of the Father, call me. And I always loved to hear his voice. And he called my name, Gabriel. Come, I want to share something with you. And so I walked into the throne room, past the Lamb's Book of Life, into the circle of unceasing light. And the Father said to me, "Gabriel, you have been a faithful servant on many missions that I've sent you on. You've served me faithfully and joyfully and enthusiastically, and I'm very thankful for that. But I'm about to give to you your most important assignment that is one of the most important messages in the history of the universe. Because, Gabriel, I am about to send my deliverer, the rescuer, to earth. And I want you to carry that message to a young woman who's going to give birth to this rescuer. Because you see, the Son of God, the eternal Son of God, that you've been worshiping here in heaven for thousands and tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands of years, that eternal Son of God is going to go to earth and become a human being be born as a baby to rescue people. I'm trying to take this in as the Lord is speaking to me. It is so mysterious, so beyond my comprehension. The eternal God becoming a human baby. I couldn't understand it, but I know that He wasn't concerned with my understanding. He was more concerned with my obedience. And as I'm contemplating fulfilling this mission, He said to me, Jesus, Jesus, I want you to tell this young woman, Mary, that that's the name she's to call this baby, Jesus, because He will save His people from their sins. Then He gave me some explanations about how some other angels would be involved and my role in explaining the program to them, and He dismissed me. So I gathered a number of my angel friends, and with some real joy and excitement, I explained this plan. Guess what? Something very, very big is going to happen on earth. This is so much bigger than the Exodus, so much bigger than the giving of the Ten Commandments to Moses, so much bigger than the building of the temple. God is sending His Redeemer, His Deliverer to earth. This is big news. And my fellow angels got all excited, and they say, that is great. Are we all going to line up with trumpets, and there'll probably be lightning and thunder, and we'll fly throughout the whole earth and let everybody on earth know about this plan? And I said, no, actually, it's a lot different than that. It's a very understated plan that the Lord has. You see, He's going to go down Himself in person. And some of my fellow angels said, what do you mean? Is He going to put on a disguise? Kind of a suit that He can zip on and zip off to disguise Himself as a human being? And I said, no. He is going to be born as a tiny little baby to a woman, a young woman, a teenage woman who's never been married, named Mary. And He will live among these people and love them and preach to them and heal them. But He's going primarily to die in their place that they might be reconciled to the Father. My fellow angels were speechless, just like I had been speechless. They couldn't take it all in. The Son of God, the eternal Son of God, they're trying to process this, is going to go to earth and become a human being. And finally, one of them, after a period of lengthy silence, said, but a baby? He's going to go down as a baby? I've seen some of those human babies. They're wrinkly faces, and they're totally helpless. They can't do anything on their own. Why doesn't He go down as an adult or maybe at least a teenager when it has all those early things, you know, the learning to walk and learning to talk and potty training and all that behind Him? He's going to be so weak. He's going to be so vulnerable. And I said, I think that's part of the Father's point, that He's really becoming one of them, becoming weak and becoming vulnerable to be part of the human race, to represent them. And that's why He's being born to a young woman named Mary, a teenage girl who has never known a man. And one of the angels said, don't you realize the kind of scandal that might create in her little town? They might stone her to death. He said, well, I think the Father understands the dangers, and He's prepared to protect her, to protect this woman as she gives birth to this Son, the Son of God, the Messiah. Now, we're not only concerned about her, we're concerned about Joseph. And I looked at one of my fellow angels named Raphael and said, you're being appointed to go and talk with Joseph because he's going to need help in understanding that. And Raphael said, so I guess he's the husband, the husband-to-be, the father-to-be? I said, yes. And he's going to need you to go and explain some of this to him. And Raphael said, well, I hope he's powerful and influential because this woman's going to need a lot of help. I said, actually, he's not. He's a simple carpenter, a very simple man, though he is a descendant of David. And you're going to go to him and reveal yourself to him and say, Joseph, you don't need to be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what is happening in her is from the Holy Spirit. Raphael said, okay, where will I find him? And I told him, in a little town in Galilee called Nazareth. And he said, isn't that a tiny little insignificant town? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? I said, well, again, I think that's what the Lord is doing in all of this, to show his glory in the midst of simplicity in the world. And many of the rest of you, as I looked at all my other angel friends, you're going to go and announce the birth to a bunch of nobodies, outcasts, insignificant shepherds out in their field near the place of the birth in Bethlehem. Well, once all the angels understood, my fellow angels understood the mission and what their role in it was going to be, it was time for me to go to earth and visit Mary. As I soared through the heavens and down to earth, and as the Lord directed me to Galilee, into this little town of Nazareth, and as the Spirit directed me to this woman, Mary, this young teenage woman, with my first glance at her, I could see this is a very special woman, a woman who clearly loves God, who clearly knows that she needs a Redeemer herself, needs a Savior because she is a sinner, but someone who really trusts in the Lord and loves Him and wants to serve Him with all of her heart. And so I approached her quietly. Again, I didn't want to unsettle her. I approached her quietly and I said, Mary. I was still invisible at this point, and she's looking around very confused and kind of scared. And then I moved my wings and made myself visible and bright, and which I know can be pretty intimidating. And then she looked at me and she was clearly terrified. I said, Mary, you don't need to be afraid. You've found favor with the Lord. The Lord is with you. And Mary, I am here to tell you that the Lord is going to do something amazing and miraculous in you. He is going to, through His Holy Spirit, He is going to enable you to have a baby who will be called, who will be the Son of God, who will sit on the throne of His father David, and His kingdom will never, never end. He is the Redeemer of God's people that His people have been waiting for thousands of years. And Mary is taking all this in, clearly overwhelmed by it, and then she finally says, how can this be? How can this be since I have never known a man? And I said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and produce this life in you, and His name will be Jesus. He will save His people. Nothing is impossible with the Lord. Well, the look on her face was amazing. She's looking up beyond me into the sky. And there were other invisible angels with me that she couldn't see, but I couldn't tell. What was she looking at? In some mysterious way, was she actually able to see those angels? Was she actually able to see all the way into heaven? But as she looked and she gazed and she processed everything I was telling her, I could see her countenance change. The appearance of peace was on her face, and a smile of faith grew on her face. And she looked at me again, and she simply said, "I'm the Lord's servant. I am the Lord's servant, ready to serve Him. May it be to me as you have said." The faith, the trust in the Lord, the submission to His will that I saw in her were absolutely remarkable and wonderful. But of course, then we had Joseph to deal with. And you may know the story that when Joseph got the news from Mary that she was having a child, at first he was very upset, very confused, very angry, feeling like he had been betrayed, wanting on the one hand to hurt her, or on the other hand just run away and get away from it all. And it was in the midst of all of that turmoil that Raphael, my fellow angel, went to him in a dream and spoke to Joseph and said, "Joseph, you don't need to be afraid to take Mary as your wife, as your bride. She has not betrayed you. She has not been unfaithful to you. What is in her has been conceived by the Holy Spirit. And the child that she will give birth to is the Son of God. His name will be Jesus, and He will save His people from her sins." It's the fulfillment of what was in the prophet Isaiah when he said, "A virgin will conceive and give birth to a child, and His name will be Emmanuel, God with us." And you know what happened? As Joseph heard that, the Holy Spirit fell on him as well, and he believed. And he believed the story that Mary had told him. He believed what the angel told him. And he went to her and he loved her. And he accepted her. And he committed to protect her and the baby. Well, of course, a number of months later, it was time for the birth. And Mary and Joseph had to travel from Nazareth to Bethlehem, where this baby was to be born in the city of David. And I had the privilege, along with a few other angels, of being there, invisible to the human beings, but we had the privilege of being there for this amazing event. And now remember that we had worshipped the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity. We had worshipped Him in glory and in splendor in heaven for thousands, tens of thousands of years, in a place of unbelievable beauty and glory. You can imagine, perhaps, how shocking it was for us to show up in Bethlehem and find Mary and Joseph in a little animal stable that was small, that was dirty, that had animals, and it smelled like animals. And here I am thinking, I'm going to improve this environment for the birth of the Son of God. And I started to move a cow and a couple of sheep out of the way. And one of my fellow angels said, "No, I think the Father wants them to be here so that all of creation will witness the birth of this Son." So we let the animals stay. And then Mary went into serious labor. And she was in pain. And it was painful to watch. And she's holding on to Joseph with one hand. And she's holding on to the manger, the feeding trough, with the other hand. And she is in pain. But then the promised one was born. And I had the privilege of seeing his little wrinkled face and wrinkled body just minutes after birth, and watching Mary hold him, watching Joseph hold him, watch him being put in the feeding trough. It was amazing. It made me think of a passage in the book of Isaiah where the prophet Isaiah said, "This, behold, this is our God, whom we have waited for. He has come to save us." And though the angels hadn't been waiting for him, I knew that all these human beings had been waiting for thousands of years. This is the one we've been waiting for, and he has come. For my fellow angels and I, we were just dumbstruck by the whole event, seeing the Son of God appear as this human being. And you know, if you know anything about angels, we like music and we like to sing. And we have songs for every occasion. When the Lord would create a planet, we would explode in song. When he'd create a star, we'd explode in song. When he would deliver his people, like during the Exodus, we would sing praises to God that would never stop. When one sinner would trust in the Lord and come into the kingdom of God, we had special songs for that. We would sing all the time. But when we saw the Son of God in a manger, we had no song. We didn't know what to sing to God in a manger. We looked at him and I knew all of God, all of the second person of the Trinity is in this tiny baby. The one we had been worshiping for thousands of years. He is here in this baby, and he has come to live among these people. He has come to love them. He has come to serve them. Ultimately, he has come to die for them. And we were speechless. Well, you know that some of the other angels had been sent to give a birth announcement to shepherds, these nobodies, these insignificant people in Israel in those days. And so shortly after the birth, a group of those angels went to the shepherds just right outside of Bethlehem where we were in the stable. And this is one of those incidents where the chief angel was revealed in all of his glory and the shepherds fell down as though dead because they were overwhelmed with what they saw, with the light and the power and the size of this angel. But he immediately said to them, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Because I have for you good news of great joy. Because today, right here in Bethlehem, in the city of David, a Savior has been born for you, and his name is Christ the Lord. Go and worship him. Go and worship him. This is a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. Go and worship him." And then that chief angel was accompanied by a whole host of angels who praised the Lord, saying, "Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest." And it only took minutes for those shepherds to run and join us in the stable and worship this king in a manger. Amazing. There's a lot more to this whole story as it unfolded. I imagine many of you know about it. You know about how this Jesus, this Christ, the Messiah, how he grew up, how he loved people, how he served them, how he taught, how he preached, all the things that he did, the miracles that he performed. But I hope you know that he didn't come primarily to teach or to preach or perform miracles. He came primarily to die on a cross, to bear the wrath of God, to die in the place of people like you and you and you. He didn't come to die for angels. He came to die for human beings. And about 33 years later, that's what he did. And some of us angels had the privilege of being there on the third day when he was raised from the dead. That is the Savior that we celebrate during this Christmas time. And I hope that you, in the midst of your culture, will remember in the midst of everything else that's going on what the real message of Christmas is all about. You know, from my angel perspective, I keep coming back and I still stand in awe and wonder of this message. I stand in awe and wonder of the fact that, number one, it was even possible. How could God do this? The God who existed from all eternity, become a human being? But number two, I'm astounded by the reason why he did it. He did it because of his infinite love for people like you. Just think of the glory that he left. He was so rich. And the poverty he embraced. Why? Because of his love for you, to give you life, to give you salvation, to give you forgiveness, to give you hope for the future. And I hope that as you're here today, hearing this story, I know, again, for many of you, I hope that the Lord gives you real faith, real trust in him, real surrender to him. Because that's why he came, to give real forgiveness, real peace, real grace to those who trust in him by faith. Now, go back to Mary and Joseph. I still stand amazed at how they welcomed Jesus into their lives. Do you think their worlds were turned upside down when Jesus came to them? Absolutely. Do you think they lost control of the plan that they had for their lives? Absolutely. And I want to tell you that if you really open up your life to Jesus, in similar ways, you'll probably lose control over your plan. And the Lord will turn your world upside down. But it's all good. And if you're here today as someone who says, I like my plan better than God's plan, I want my control, I want to say, hey, that's foolishness. Because what's a better plan for your life than the plan that Jesus has? The one who loved you so much that he came from that glory to earth to live for you, to die for you, to give you hope, to give you a future. That's the Jesus who's alive today, who gives life, forgiveness, salvation, and everything you need to anyone who trusts in him. My hope and my prayer is that you really know him, that you really trust him, that you give every part of your life to him without reservation. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you so much for the miracle of this story, the miracle of the incarnation. And we do. We just stagger in your presence at the reality of this message and what you did for us. How can we take it in? How can we do justice to it as we praise you and worship you? Lord, I do pray for everyone here today. I know that most of us know all about this story in many ways. But I pray for any here today who don't really know Jesus, who haven't given him their lives, who haven't welcomed him into their hearts. I do pray for them especially that you would show them that this is where they can find real life as they surrender to you. Lord, as we say in one of our Christmas hymns, come to us, be born in us today, cast out our sin and enter in. And we pray that you'd do that for every person here. Thank you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.